This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called 40 Days in the Word. In these messages, Pastor Rick shares practical Bible study tools that will reignite your passion for God's Word and revolutionize your life as you grow closer to Jesus. First, we're excited to let you know that very generous friends of Daily Hope have stepped forward with a special $50,000 matching grant. That means any gift you give to help Daily Hope share God's Word with people everywhere will be doubled. So contact us right away. Go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Seeing What God Wants Me to See.
You have some things you've been wanting to do in your life, and you've been wanting to start a business or start a family or get out of debt, or you've had some goal or some dream and you've been wanting and you've been trying to make progress on it, but you just keep bumping up against an invisible wall. And he's going, I don't get it. I'm trying the best I can. I'm doing the best I can. I'm not making any progress. You need to have your eyes open, your eyes illuminated. Now, the story that gives a good example of this is in Numbers chapter 22. You might write that down, Numbers 22. And it's the story of a guy named Balaam. Balaam was a prophet of God. He was a man of God. But Balaam decided and agreed to help the bad guys. And this ticked God off. He goes, wait a minute, Balaam, you're supposed to be my representative and you're going to go help the bad guys? And so as Balaam starts on his journey to go help the bad guys, God puts an angel in his pathway and blocks his progress. Only Balaam can't see the angel. And so he doesn't know what's going on. But his barrier to his progress was invisible, and he could not see it. So he's heading off on this journey to go help the bad guys. We pick up the story in verse 22 of Numbers 22. But God was furious that Balaam was going. So he sent the angel of the Lord to stand in the road to block Balaam's way. Now, Balaam's donkey actually saw the angel standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. The donkey could see it, but Balaam didn't. And the donkey bolted off the road into a field out of fear. But Balaam beat the donkey and turned it back on the road. This is funny. Balaam can't see what's going on, but the donkey can. And he says, you know, this angel's in the middle of the road with a big sword. He goes, I'm not going there. And the donkey's pretty smart. He goes off into the ditch. Balaam beats the donkey. He gets angry. It's not the donkey's fault. He can't see what's out there. So then the second time it says, then the angel of the Lord stood at a place where the road narrowed. This is the second time. The road narrowed between two vineyard walls. So it's getting very narrow. And the angel of the Lord stood in the middle. Now when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing there, it tried to squeeze by the angel and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. We always get hurt when we're trying to do something that God doesn't want us to do. We always get our foot crushed. We always get hurt. And Balaam doesn't see what's going on. Balaam looks at the donkey and goes, why'd you do that? Why'd you run against the wall and break my leg? And he says he beat the donkey again. He's angry. Third time. Then the angel of the Lord moved farther down the road and stood in a place so narrow that the donkey could not even get by. This time, when the donkey saw the angel, it just lay down under Balaam. Smart donkey. Okay, I give up. He just collapses and he gives up. In a fit of rage, the Bible says, Balaam beat it again with his staff. Now we pick up the story on your outline in verse 31. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. Circle that phrase. This is illumination. He opened Balaam's eyes. And now Balaam saw what the problem was. He saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So what does Balaam do now? Now that his eyes are open, he bows down low and he falls down, face down, and he worships God. Now that is a very strange story. But here's the point. You have plans in your life that aren't working out. And you try to go this way and you get blocked. And you try to go this way and you get blocked. And you try to go this way and you get blocked. And you're getting mad at everybody else. You're mad at your wife. You're mad at your husband. You're beating your donkey. Okay. You're taking it out on your kids. You're talking about your boss behind his back and on and on and on. And you're mad at everybody because you can't see what the real problem is. God is blocking that issue. He is trying to keep you from making a serious mistake. And God's saying, I'm not going to let you go down that road. And no matter how much you beat your head against the wall, I'm not going to let you go down that road because I love you too much and you're going to be stopped by it. Now, when your progress is being blocked, you got one of two choices. Beat the donkey or let God open your eyes. You can either get mad at everybody around you and spiritually vomit on them and take it out on your kids and your husband and your wife and everybody else, and you're just so sick and tired and you're blaming everybody for your problem. But the problem is you can't see the problem. The barrier is God is not going to let you do that. Because he loves you too much. But when God opens my eyes, I can see the solution to my problems. And when God opens my eyes, I can see the barrier to my progress. And I go, oh, that makes sense. Story number three. When God opens my eyes, I see the defense for what's attacking me. I see the defense, how God is going to defend me for the things that are attacking me. Now, everybody feels under attack at different points in their life. You may feel under attack right now. Maybe you're under attack by germs and you're getting sick. Maybe you feel like you're under attack by the economy and you've lost your job or lost your income or lost your retirement. Or you feel under attack by former friends, or you feel under attack by your own family, or you feel under attack by your own mind and the fears that are beating in on you, and you just feel like you're beaten down and you're under attack. And you think that you're all alone and you don't know what God is going to do in that. There's a great story in 2 Kings chapter 6. Write this down, 2 Kings chapter 6. And it's the story of Elisha and the Arameans. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a nation called Aram, A-R-A-M. And the nation of Aram was always at war with Israel. They were always going to war with Israel. But every time they would attack Israel, God would tell Elisha, who was the prophet of God in Israel, God would tell Elisha what the king of Aram's plans were, the war plans, in advance. And so Elisha would go tell the king of Israel, and each time the king of Israel would kick the king of Aram's rear. And he's winning time after. This gets very old to the king of Aram. He's going, I can't win. No matter what problem I come, no matter what brilliant battle plan I come up with, somebody's finding out. And he thinks there's a traitor in his own people who's sharing the secrets. He goes, we got to plug this leak. And so we pick the story up in verse 10 of 2 Kings 6. It says, this happened, this leak happened several times. So the king of Aram became very upset over it. And he called in his officers and he demanded, which of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans? It's not us, my lord, one of the officers replied. It's that Elisha. Elisha, the prophet of Israel. He tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. He knows your plans before you tell us. The king said, well, I'll tell you what. You go find where Elisha is, and we're going to send troops to seize him. We're going to send our whole army after this one guy. We're going to stop this leak. And he said, you go find out where he is. Well, the report came back. Elisha is at Dothan. Dothan was a little town in Israel. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and many horses to surround the city where Elisha was. This is Dothan. Now, when Elisha's servant, this is a guy named Gehazi, wakes up the next morning, early next morning, he goes outside, he sees the city surrounded by troops, by chariots, and by horses. And Elisha's servant has a panic attack. He goes, we're in a goner. It's us against all these attackers. And he runs back in and he tells Elisha, he says, what'll we do now? He cries out to Elisha. And Elisha replied, don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Now Gehazi's going, from a human standpoint, that's not true. There's like several thousand soldiers out there, and there's you and me. So what are you talking about? There's more on our side than on theirs. It's just us two against this army. We pick up the story in verse 17 on your outline. Elisha prayed, O God, O Lord, open his eyes. Circle that phrase. He's talking about his servant, Gehazi. O Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. And he looked out and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. This is the angel army that he did not see from a physical standpoint. He's going, behind the scenes, I can't see this, but there are evidently some supernatural forces here that are going to protect us that I haven't been able to see before. And he sees it. Now he's not afraid anymore. You lose your fear when God is near. Okay? Now, the rest of the story says this. As the Aramean army advanced toward them, Elisha prayed, oh Lord, please make them blind. I like this. Lord, make them blind. And so the Lord did. He just, as Elisha asks. So Elisha goes out and he told them, you have come the wrong way. Well, this is funny. He's talking to the enemy army that's come to capture him in Dothan. They're all blind now. And he says, you have come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. He's just deceiving them. He's flat out deceiving them. This isn't the right city. Follow me and I'll take you to the man you're looking for. Now he was standing there right in front of them. And he takes them to Samaria. Now what's in Samaria? The king of Israel and the massive Israeli army. So what's he do? Here's Elisha leading an enemy army that has all been blinded, one guy leading them right into the hands of the Israeli army. Now it says in the Bible, as soon as they had entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, O Lord, now open their eyes and let them see again. And the Lord did just that, and they discovered that they were in Samaria. We ain't in Kansas, Dorothy. And when my eyes are open, I open them up, and all of a sudden, here I am. I'm not in Dothan, I'm in Samaria, and I'm surrounded by the Israeli army. This is hilarious. Now, when Elisha's king, the king of Israel, saw the captive enemy army, he shouts out to Elisha, should I kill him? Elisha said, of course not. Do we kill prisoners of war? No. Give them food and drink and send them home again. So the king of Israel made a great feast for the Aramean army, and then he sent them home to their king. And after that, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. I guess so. Now, the easiest way to get rid of an enemy is to turn him into a friend. So instead of assassinate all these guys and then make enemies for another generation so that the sons would want to come back and get retaliation, so, you know, just be nice to them, feed them, and send them home. The best way to get rid of an enemy is to turn him into a friend. But here's the point. You've got things that are attacking you, and you're going to panic about it. You're going to feel overwhelmed. You're going, there's a whole lot more against me than just little old me. God needs to open your eyes to see all the resources on your side that he has commanded to take care of you. There are angels around you all the time. You cannot see them, but they are around you all the time, and God's forces are there to protect you. And God says, when I see from his viewpoint. I can see the defense, and all of a sudden my fear goes down dramatically. Fourth story. The fourth benefit of being able to see from spiritual eyes, to have my mind illuminated, is I see how God is walking with me. When God opens my eyes, I see how God is walking with me. He's been with me all along. I just didn't see it. Now, I don't know what you're going through right now. You may have felt like you're lonely, you're alone, you're out there by yourself, you're fighting this battle on your own, and you don't think that God is with you, that God's a million miles away. You're dead wrong. He's been with you all along. You just can't see it until your mind is illuminated. Now, a story that I want to share on this one is in Luke chapter 24. So write that down, Luke 24. And this is a story that happened on the day Jesus rose from the dead. Easter Sunday, the very first Easter Sunday. Now, what had happened is over the past 72 hours, a lot had happened. Jesus Christ had been arrested. He had been whipped and beaten and tortured. He had been crucified. He died, and they buried him in a tomb. All of the disciples, they're crushed. Their dream is finished. We thought this guy was God. Wait a minute. We thought he was the Messiah. Now they've killed him. They're probably going to kill us. And they all are fleeing for their lives. They're running away. Nobody knows what's happened. They're confused. They're in grief. They're sorrowing. They're sobbing. And they're fearful because they think if they killed Jesus, they're going to kill us too. And then on Easter morning, some women go to the tomb and they find the tomb has been broken open, that the body is gone, and the angels there say, he's risen. Well, this is too much to believe. I can't believe this. I just even can't believe it. And so they go back and they tell the disciples. The disciples come out and they go, yeah, it's true. The body's gone. But we can't believe it. We don't even know. So this rumor starts spreading all over that Jesus is risen, but nobody has actually seen him yet. Now, over the next 40 days, Jesus appeared multiple times, walked around Jerusalem at one time, talked to a crowd of 500 people. I mean, that would have been weird if I was one of the persecutors of Jesus, then all of a sudden one day he's walking down the street 2 weeks later and he goes, he's back. This is why within a few years there were 100,000 Christians in the church of Jerusalem. Why? Because there were so many eyewitnesses. It wasn't just a few people saw him. He was walking around Jerusalem for 40 days, and 100,000 people by the year 20 had come to Christ, and the Jerusalem church is over 100,000 people. Why? Because of all these witnesses who had seen Jesus. But this is that later that day, and a couple of Jesus' disciples are walking on the road to Emmaus. They're getting out of town. They're leaving Jerusalem in fear for their life. But they're grieving and they're sorrowing. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and appears to them and starts walking with them. But because they're in so much grief, they don't even recognize it. Their eyes are closed. They can't see it. They don't even notice who's with them. We pick the story up in verse 15, Luke 24. Suddenly, Jesus himself came along and joined them, these two disciples, and began walking beside them. But they didn't know who he was because God kept them from recognizing him. Jesus said, you seem to be in a deep discussion about something. What are you so concerned about? Because they're talking about the crucifixion and all that's going on, chaos in Jerusalem. They stopped short, sadness written on their faces. And then Cleopas said, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened in the last few days. Jesus said, what things? He's playing dumb. Okay, obviously he knows what's going on. Jesus was the center of attention. He goes, what things? And the disciples said, the things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did wonderful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher, highly regarded by both God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders arrested him, handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had thought he was the Messiah. And so we thought this guy was God, but he's dead now. We had thought he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. That all happened 3 days ago. They continued. Then some women were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and that they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Now, some of our guys, some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, Jesus' body was gone, just as the women had said. So they're all confused. They haven't seen Jesus. He's walking right there with them, but they haven't seen him yet. And they're, no, I don't know what to believe. Then Jesus said, "You are such foolish people. You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted by the prophets that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering into his time of glory?" Then Jesus quoted passages from the writings of Moses. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And quoted all of the prophets. That's the Old Testament. Explaining what all the scriptures said about him. And I said last week, a lot of people think that the Old Testament is about Israel and the New Testament is about Jesus. Wrong. It's all about Jesus from cover to cover. This is a Jesus book. And the first part of the book tells you it's coming. He's coming. And you see Jesus in allusions and in analogies and in metaphors and in prophecies and in statements and in predictions. He's all through every chapter of the Bible. And then we find the Gospels where you hear the stories of Jesus. And then we have the book of Acts, which is what happened after Jesus goes back to heaven and the church grows. And then all the letters, which is how we're supposed to live since then. But it's all about Jesus. Now it says, by this time, these two disciples and Jesus are nearing Emmaus, the city, and the end of their journey. And Jesus would have gone on, but they begged him to stay the night with them. And since it was getting late, so he, Jesus, went home with them. Now, they still don't recognize him. As they sat down to eat, Jesus took a small loaf of bread, just like he did in the Last Supper. And he asked God to bless it, just like in the Last Supper. And he broke it, and he gave it to them. And in verse 31 on your outline, then their eyes were opened. Circle that phrase. Their eyes were open and they recognized him. Holy guacamole, it's Jesus. We've been walking with him all day. We've been talking to him. We've been telling him what we saw and he's been explaining to us the meaning of it. And now he's been eating dinner with us. What in the world? Their eyes were opened. Then their eyes were open, they recognized him, and he disappears from their sight. Now that would be a mind blower. The guy you think is God is crucified and died. You go, well, that was, we missed that one. Whew, we thought that guy was God. And then we hear he's been resurrected, but we really don't believe it. And then a guy, stranger, walks along with us, and then he breaks the bread, and all of a sudden we realize, it's him. It's him. And just as soon as we recognize it's him, bam, he disappears. That was illumination. In their grief, they could not see Jesus was with them. They had had this enormous loss, and they couldn't see. They just couldn't see it. They needed illumination. I don't know what you've lost this last year. You may have lost a loved one. You may have lost your health. You may have lost your job. You may have lost an important relationship or a big deal, and you are grieving, and you cannot see that every step of the way, Jesus has been walking with you. You have never been alone. You have never been by yourself. That God is with you, walking with you, but your eyes are blinded. You can't see it. Now do you realize how important illumination is, batteries included.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. Did you know you can start every day with hope and encouragement from Pastor Rick? Well, you can when you sign up to receive his life-changing daily Bible teaching delivered directly to your inbox. Just go to PastorRick.com and sign up for his free Daily Hope devotional. Don't miss out. Sign up now at PastorRick.com. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, we have some really exciting news. Generous friends of Daily Hope have offered a $50,000 matching grant. Here's Rick to tell you more.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you, everybody. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give, because at this point of the year, we have a donor who has offered to match your gift. That means what you give will be doubled. We get twice the bang for the buck, in other words. So please respond quickly and give in such a way that we can maximize it through this matching gift. And I want to ask you this. Would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out.
When you give a gift to Daily Hope, you're helping share the hope of Jesus with people everywhere. And this month, your gift will be doubled by the $50,000 matching grant. Go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004, and we'll send you Pastor Rick's 40 Days in the Word study kit to say thanks. Again, that's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Please be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.